Right, this is the Cool Shit Podcast. Each week we round up the latest cool shit, helping us think different and keep inspired. What makes it in, what gets left out, and what gets challenged. Is it cool, is it shit?
Or does it cross the magic threshold and come bona fide, certified cool shit?
Welcome to the editors meeting.
Welcome to episode 43 of the Cool Shit Podcast, and we're doing something a bit different today because unfortunately James has left us in the lurch. He's decided to take his annual leave and it's just me and Gareth. We're on a Zoom call recording, really glamorous.
This is like Battle of the Loudmouths, isn't it? So it's a good job that we are remote because I think we'd just get too loud if we're in the same room. This is the only way that we could keep the volume down by being like miles apart, basically.
Miles apart, I don't know who decided this was a good idea to put Gina and Gareth.
Well, I don't know. Like this all happened very quick, wasn't it? It was like an SOS. James is on holiday now. Is James actually on holiday?
No, he's not.
Because I heard rumours that he's gone away. Yeah, and he's gone away on a little family trip, and someone has contracted COVID. Yeah,
I think they've all got it now.
Exactly. So how's that for a holiday? You're off and ill.
Yeah. So he's going to be grumpier than normal when he comes.
I know,
back
and you can't exactly call up. You can't exactly call up and go like, listen, I'm ill, it's my holiday, can this just be a sick day?
Sick day? No, it's too late for that, James.
Too late,
you made your birthday in it.
Exactly.
But also, it's worth noting that I've been away for a couple of weeks, haven't I? So I'm happy to be back, even though it's not the traditional recording in the studio.
Yeah, you've been ill as well. Yeah. Everyone's been sick. What's going on, man?
Everyone has. There's a Zach flu. We're spreading the love. That's what we're doing. Everyone's kissing each other, so we've all got the flu.
I wouldn't know about that. No one would tell me. All right, then. We've got some stories, right?
We do have some stories. I think I'll make a start. As it's St. Patrick's Day tomorrow, so I thought it'd only be fitting to talk about the new Guinness campaign. First of all, obviously Guinness is very Irish and it's St. Patrick's Day and they've got a new campaign just in time. I feel like Guinness is always known for kind of doing quite iconic campaigns. Like there was one probably way back when that you would be more aware of, Gareth, given
your
old
age. Are you talking about the horses one? So the horses, surfing. Yeah,
that's actually a Zach CEO favorite. Joe mentions that campaign.
So the director's called Jonathan Glazier, and I think he went on to make some very good films after that as well.
There you go. And Guinness are continuing to be iconic, in my opinion anyway, with a new, like I said, St. Patrick's Day campaign called Holding Up for a Zero, which is a play on the famous Bonnie Tyler song Holding Up for a Hero. It's Holding Up for a Zero because it's advertising their 0% Guinness, so their alcohol-free beer, which is obviously new and kind of shocking for St. Patrick's Day because, you know, everyone gets absolutely pissed on St. Patrick's Day. Loads of pints of Guinness and they've got little faces in them. They kind of look like Thomas the Tank Engine faces to me. That's what it reminded me of. And it's them singing, basically. And I think it's really cute. It's really funny. Not too much has gone into it. It's like quite simple, but I think it's really effective.
I had a quick gander. Look, bearing in mind, I'm really not target market for this because A, I don't really drink Guinness, right? We were in Ireland recently for a shoot and I did have a couple of Guinnesses because everyone says it tastes really good here. It tastes like the best Guinness in the world. I really can't tell because I'm like, there's no such thing as Guinness back home. Because I don't really have it back home. So the idea of a 0%, like you're going to do that to yourself when you don't even have to. Have a 0% Guinness. I reckon it sounds a bit gross. Yeah, I've got nothing against it, but I'm just saying personally, I can't think of anything worse. However, you're right. Like there's a huge rise in people searching for alternatives to alcohol. Is this new? Is it a launch or is this something that they've been doing for a while?
I actually don't know if the beer is no, the beer is new and it's all about like focusing on like drinking in moderation. And I feel like St. Patrick's Day, where nothing is probably ever in moderation.
There's nothing in moderation on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, and I think this is a really cool way to approach it because it's a really fun advert and it's quite an iconic song, iconic beer on an iconic day, kind of combining the three and trying to make alcohol-free beer fun and to encourage people to be kind of getting on board with this Guinness 00, which is what it's called. There's going to be like 50,000 free pints of Guinness across Ireland over the holiday weekend. And the brand director of Guinness calls it their largest ever responsible drinking campaign. So all it takes is a few pints and you're making them sing. They've got their little faces.
Just clear that up for me. So like they're giving away the zero Guinness. Like they're giving away
Guinness 00, yeah.
Right, okay.
To try and convince people that it's not convince people, to try and encourage people to try it and I guess get people on board with drinking.
I think that's a nice idea because you want to go out perhaps on St. Patrick's Day. Not everyone drinks. Mm-hmm. I think that we always kind of think of alcoholic alternatives or alcohol-free beers as, I don't know, something that you drink when you, I don't know, you really would like a beer, but you might be driving, yeah. You might be like, yeah, there's, yeah. Like, it's not just for washed up old alcoholics. They're basically, yeah, I can't, like,
you can see, yeah, you can see how big it's gone through, like Lucky Saint. They're like,
I love Lucky Saint. So right, Lucky Saint. Yeah, and it's one of the that first is the best alcohol-free beer. Only retailed, really. Now. Well, yeah, you can only they only retail through Sainsbury's. Like, you can only ever, yeah, really, really buy it in Sainsbury's, like, or direct from the, yeah, brand. But that beer actually tastes as close, yeah, as giving me beer vibes than the other beer, and that's super nice. But going back to this, yeah, I didn't really like the execution of the ads, to be honest with you.
Why is that?
It's just good.
As a creative, give me your opinion.
It was just a bit too cutesy. Like, it was cutesy. I know, yeah, that it's quite catchy. I'm wondering, yeah, I understand, like, it's a hero, yeah? So the idea that, like, it, you know, Guinness is going to step in with a 0%er, so you can be a hero, you can still go out, you can still have
but
fun.
But it plays on words. The campaign is holding up for a zero, as in the, yeah, 0% bit.
No.
They didn't change the lyrics of the song. They kept the song original.
Okay, fine, all right.
Which, yeah, I feel like they could have changed, yeah, the lyrics. They could have changed the lyrics.
But I think the idea is, like, like rewarding you as a hero for basically, yeah, making sure that you're not drinking, right? That's kind, yeah, of where the activation platform has taken it, which I like. I, yeah, think that's good. I just thought the execution was a bit too cutesy for me. Like, okay, I was like, it could have been...
So you find the faces cute, but some people find the faces quite scary and quite trippy because they are a bit weird. Like I said,
they are quite trippy. I mean, they're like Thomas Tank Engine. Yeah, yeah, exactly. They are, like, Thomas Tank Engine is a good reference, yeah. They've got a trippy value to it. I guess you're right, though. When I think of some of the iconic ads that Guinness have done, I don't know. It's not that they strike a more serious tone. It's not about being serious, but they strike a more, yeah, iconic tone, yeah, than perhaps.
It's quite funny for them, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's quite like.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because, yeah, some of the Guinness ads that, and not just the one that you're talking about, like the, yeah, surfing horses, it's actually got a proper, yeah, name. I can't remember it. But
I can't remember either.
But throughout the years, there was a Louis Armstrong one where, like, you know, you went into, mm-hmm, this bottle of a pint of Guinness and took you into this trippy world again, like this quite, yeah, trippy place where you came out like at the other side of it. So it was like quite fractal, but they always strike me as, I don't know, having a really sort of like cool approach to it as opposed to, yeah, quite funny and cute. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, definitely a change in tone of their normal adverts and campaigns, but I think that's kind of the point because it's they're trying to encourage a different product, aren't they?
Is it going in? Fuck knows. Does the little chief like it? We don't know. This might be one of the ones that he's slagging off. And do you know, yeah, what I mean? Sometimes he brings a story and slates his own stories. We don't know if he likes this or not. I mean, we don't even know.
That's the excitement of this week's podcast. We just don't know what's going to make it in. And without James, we're a bit lost, but we'll make him do.
I really like this Marwa X one, which, mm-hmm, is about a pop-up shelter that's affordable, that's lightweight, that's smart, so it's connected and it can be transported to anywhere in the world. So the idea on this one is it's literally a paper house. So I say paper, cardboard, right? And I think it's only 16 kilograms. It arrives in a little briefcase. There's no tools. You can erect it quite easily. It's got a nice little flavor. It looks like a Keith Haring design on it. Comes with a soda panel. And what looks like in the video, a little smart device inside. The idea being, like, you know, as we go further and further into climate crisis and, you know, look at what's happening in loads of countries at the moment with refugees, we need more ways of helping people get better accommodation or places to stay. And while this isn't a long-term thing, this is a really cool little shelter that you can take to a disaster zone really, really quickly. It's connected, so it's kind of feels better than a tent. And it's completely carbon neutral in terms of its design, and it's renewable as well. I think it's really smart. I really like it. What do you think?
It is smart. It really surprises me that it hasn't been done before, first of all. Like, I don't know, is this the first type of cardboard house that can pop up in 47 seconds, apparently? That's what it says. 47 seconds to build and pack.
Like, I'd fuck that up. I can tell you.
Yeah, somehow.
It would take me more than 47.
It would take you like 2 hours.
Exactly. Okay, go on, guys. It's all ready for you. Sorry about the roof, though. It's not quite on properly. Sorry, don't. Let's fingers crossed it doesn't rain tonight, guys.
Well, the first thing I did think of, though, is it waterproof? And it is waterproof.
It is waterproof,
cardboard,
yeah.
You're going to get smushed in that, but apparently not. It's waterproof. I think it's really smart, and I think it solves a common problem. And I think, again, I'm just surprised that it's taken this long for someone to come up with this, and I just wonder why. But it's called the Suitcase House, and I like the name. I like how it's been marketed. And it's actually reusable. Did you know that?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, like it's reusable. reusable, it's green. Yeah, and it's nice. And it looks kind of nice, do you know what I mean? It doesn't look like...
It looks a bit kiddie-ish to me, though. I don't like the shapes on it, the colours.
You don't like
the
Keith Haring type of like design?
No,
I don't mind. It's kind of jolly. It's kind of jolly for like perhaps a worn, torn area.
I was going to say, is that what you want? Jolly when you're fleeing disaster and war?
Maybe, yeah. Well, like, you don't want depressing, do you? You might want something just to sort of like lift the spirits a little bit.
It's not launched yet, so it's coming soon.
Well, the entrepreneur that's launching it, he was called Abdal Al Ragad. He seems like a young guy that seems to be doing good things. I wonder if this is a big money-making thing for him, though, or not. Do you know what I mean? Is this there? And don't get me wrong, I think it's great when we solve problems and they're self-sufficient and can earn money. But I wonder whether this would be. Are the Red Cross going to buy, like, you know, 100,000 of these? Is it something that's viable in terms of have they produced enough of them? All of that sort of stuff is sort of like a question mark because it's still to launch. But as it is, I like the design. I like the idea. I like the fact that it's solar-powered. I think it's really smart.
We're on to a good one. You can't exactly bash a story about someone who's trying to help homeless people and refugees with pop-up houses. I wonder how much they're going to cost.
Well, I reckon if James was here, I reckon he'd find a way of bashing it.
On to the next one.
Yeah, what you got?
Sorry, guys, the format is strange.
It's messing with Gina's head. She can't work out.
It's gone back struggling.
To her.
It doesn't.
To me, to you, to me, to you. Gina's like... To me,
the story I'm going to talk about is Coca-Cola's new campaign, and I feel like I'm assuming anyone listening to this has probably seen it. It's blown up quite a bit. So they've animated like masterpieces from, you know, Warhol, Van Gogh in their new advert, and it's all about kind of bringing classic artworks to life, quite literally. So it's this art student. He's got like a block. He's uninspired.
Yeah, the guy's in the gallery. There's like girl with the pearl earring. There's like Van Gogh's bedroom.
Yeah, it's classics.
There's
Munches
the Scream.
The
and they're all just throwing a bottle of Coke around between them. Yeah.
The art teacher's coming and he's like, fuck, I need to get this project done. And then he drinks. So the flash of inspiration dawns on him, and then he begins and finishes his sketch in a matter of seconds. The girl in the pearl earring, she winks at him at the end.
Oh,
she's like, we got your back. Classic artwork.
Dorsey Minx winks
because he drank some Coke. The Coke got passed around through all the artwork. He drank the Coke. He got inspired. He did his sketch and he's done.
It's a cheesy as hell advert, right? It's like absolute cheese. I watched it. This is my hot take. I'm like, right, so what's Coca-Cola got to do with all these like amazing old art pieces?
It's all like iconic though, isn't it? Again, similar to the Guinness.
I guess.
Iconic bottle, iconic brand, and well, iconic artworks.
Yeah, exactly. So like, you know, they lean into Warhol because Warhol used to love Coca-Cola. Like the idea that you could be a movie star and you drink the same Coke as you would do if you're a man on the street. The iconic brands hold something dear in our lives because they're affordable for everyone. And it's the same now. Like if you use an iPhone, like, you know, that the same iPhone that you're using when you have the latest one, same one David Beckham's using. That sort of standardization is what Warhol was interested in. You know, I think that was a leaning in point for Coca-Cola, having that connection to Warhol as such like a massive advocate of brand, but also of like particularly Coca-Cola as well. I guess what I did think when I was watching this advert is like, I don't really get it. But then by the end, I don't know, it's a bit Spielberg-y, right? And I was like, it's actually quite magical, I guess. It reminds me of being a kid. It really reminds me of being a kid, like watching something at the cinema. And then the line came up. What was it like? What was it? Is it everyday magic or?
Real magic. Real magic is Coke's thing, right?
Yeah.
It's like all about, so.
And then, that kind of sealed the deal for me. That sealed the deal. I was like, actually, do you know what? We've animated all of these great masterpieces. You know, I've enjoyed like having a look and going through this campaign. It's hella cheesy. It's hella global looking. Could be like Europe, pan-European, etc. However, I got into it and like the line paid off and I was like, do you know what? It's not bad.
Yeah, because it is real magic that all these famous and iconic artworks are coming to life and they're helping this guy. But I kind of understand what you mean. Like, where does Coke tie into that? What has that got to do with Coca-Cola? Apart from the Warhol piece, like, it doesn't really...
No.
I liked it, though. I'm reading a quote from the Global Head of Creative Strategy for Coca-Cola. And he says that the masterpiece isn't a story. So the thing's called masterpiece isn't a story where Coke appears. He's saying Coke is the story. It's true to the spirit of the brand that all these, this you know, diverse collection of artwork is coming together to uplift a slumping teenager. The same way Coke would, whichever Coke you prefer, it uplifts you.
Yeah, I mean, it's really loose, isn't it? Like that's
it
not.
It is loose.
Yeah, I don't quite buy that. I think that just sounds like marketing
everyday moments.
Like,
I guess they're everyday moments, though. You're in a block.
Yeah, I do know that, like, you know, there is something that is, like, ultimately, it's only Coke, isn't it? When you grab a really ice cold Coke, that taste can't be recreated by anyone else. Yeah, that taste can't be, you know, when it's someone else that's done it. Yeah, you know, when it's a Pepsi, you know, when it's some awful own brand or like some posho, like, roller cola-y.
Oh, my God. I hate those.
Like those like organic ones that you're like,
yeah, organic cola.
Yeah,
I know, it is gross.
Like people try but to get in, like clever with it. Like, no, don't. Coke's
aside from the messaging, though, aside from like the messaging and what they're trying to say about building and creating real magic with all these artworks, the actual creative is sick. It's so cool that all these artworks.
So the artwork's coming to life. Yeah, like it's high end, high budget. So what I mean by that is like it's as good as anything that you'll see in a Hollywood blockbuster.
It's quite immersive.
And the craft. Yeah. The craft of it. Like halfway through, it's like, do you know what? I'm gonna shut up questioning it and enjoy the ride. And for that, I actually quite liked it. It is what it is.
It's wicked.
It's a major brand just doing something that is essentially just reminding you that Coke is the Mac Daddy, I guess, and that it can align itself with these sorts of artworks. There aren't many brands that can, so I guess I'm behind
it. And I know that James liked this story, so I'm really interested to see how he writes about it in Cool Shit, because I feel like we're being kind of critical, like what it's very loose. We don't actually know what they're trying to do. But I'm interested to see why he liked it, because if he's super critical normally. So basically, I'm going to read what he says and then let that inform my decision on whether I like the story or not.
If James was a brand of Coke, what brand of Coke would he be?
Like Lidl own brand? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, exactly. What Coke would James be? I'm going with, like, you know, when you're in like France and you get a Diet Coke and it's Coca Light. I'd say that's James. Yeah. He's like a Coca Light. Final stories. There were slim pickings, to be honest with you. Some fashion shoot using the Teletubbies. Oh my
God. I loved
word.
It. So it's a Christian Cohen collab, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And they've lent into the 90s. And as their vehicle to lean into the 90s, they thought, let's do the Teletubbies.
Yeah. And they're like 8 foot big, fat, furry things holding the models, which I find hilarious because they're actually quite harrowing if you look at them for too long. They look like the faces of the Guinness.
They do.
Big round faces.
I don't know. I wasn't a fan of this. I just, like, visually, I don't like the way it looks. Maybe it's because I've got kids. So if I see a Teletubby, like, you know, it just makes me think, oh, God, no. Shudder and just, like, long for, like, real proper grown-up TV. And here we are having a load of grown-ups prancing around with a Teletubby. Like, nah.
Dipsy, Lala and Poe. And
I mean, they're loving it. Dipsy. Especially is loving it.
Dipsy's going to catch a case soon. Just watch. But also some of the actual pieces that they've designed have the Teletubbies on them. But when I think back to the 90s and want to kind of feel nostalgic, even though I was born in 96, I wouldn't think, oh, let's have Teletubbies on my clothing. I would just think of other
things. I just don't think it's very cool.
It's trying to be cool, though.
Yeah, but I think, you know, with fashion, you have to, even if it's trying to be ironic, like, it just doesn't work for me. But anyway, look, that was the one that I wasn't going to bring. Very quickly, there's a Y brush and it's an electric mouthpiece. So French company has launched a new toothbrush, which is basically a gum shield that is shaped to your mouth, with bristles on, that you put in your mouth, and they reckon you can brush your teeth in 10 seconds. Like,
first
so you
of all, 10 seconds is not enough.
It's not enough! Not enough at
That's
all!
Gross.
Like, absolutely gross, yeah? And also, like, these bristles, I just don't trust it. I've got funny shaped teeth, right? So, like, people that brush their teeth, you need to go in. You need to go into those bits there, yeah. And if it ain't going, like, you ain't getting the food out. I would not trust, like, that would brush my teeth in 10 minutes to a hygienic standard.
10 seconds, you donut. 10 minutes, your gums will be bleeding.
I brush my teeth closer to 10 minutes. Like, I've got like a...
Than 10
know,
seconds, yeah.
A Philips Sonic toothbrush, yeah.
Oh, he's name dropping now. How much is this retailing for? Do you know?
It doesn't say, but like a Sonic toothbrush, they're probably, I think, market leaders at the moment. They go for like anything from like entry about 50 quid, but they're rubbish, up to about 150 to 200.
I think this would be a couple of £100. I don't know why they think it's some big, bold technological advancement. Does this company do anything else? Or is it
Really heard of this company. So, you know, I'm all for sort of like breakthrough brands, but I can't see any nice advertising against it. There's video against it. It doesn't look great. Are they just selling this technology? I feel like what I guess I'm saying is if this was coming out of Oral-B, if this was coming out of Philips, I might lean into it a little bit more because they have that heritage in it. Because I haven't heard of the company, I think they need to work a little bit harder in how this is popping into my life. And some of the video and some of the photography against it doesn't feel like it's a forward-facing new company. It feels to me like it's a side hustle. Feels
so
like
what's the company called?
Wybrush. Which is weird, right?
It doesn't even have a nice name.
No, exactly. Like Wybrush, because you need to brush your teeth.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sold on this. It's almost no. It doesn't seem very pioneering in the oral space.
The oral space.
In the oral hygiene space.
Where do I go to find out and sign up to the Cool Shit newsletter, Gina?
ZACAgency.com/cool-SHT. And as James would say, we still need to change that.
All right, cool. Well, look, hopefully next week, James is
back. It's a special edition next week, actually. It's a special edition.
Oh, yeah, it's a special edition for
Keep
our white paper next week.
Keep your ears peeled.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We've got a very special edition next week. So, yeah, that's exciting. All right then, Gina, thank you very much.
Thanks, Gareth. Always a pleasure.
All right, speak to you later. Bye.
Bye.